Welcome to the You Are Covered podcast. I'm Hannah Lynn. I am your host, and I'm so glad you're joining me. I actually had a great afternoon. It's been warm here, finally, in Chicago. So I spent all of my time this afternoon, like, I think it was from like 3 until 7-ish. That I've been outside just soaking up the weather because it's not too hot and it's not too cold. And I love it that way. And it's sunny. So there's not a cloud in the sky. It is so lovely out. So I hope that wherever you are, you have some good weather, because I don't know about you, but this was a long, dreary spring, I feel like. So I hope you got out. About it was extremely nice out for Easter. Easter Sunday was this past weekend, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful time. And my sister was in town, so that was a lot of fun. Yeah, so we didn't really have an episode that was talking about Easter, but I really feel like this year, for some reason, Easter was just kind of special. I don't know if it was like, I don't know why it felt different this year, but I had a lot of friends like wishing me, you know, happy Easter, and just, I don't know, just feeling love. And I think it's just my church has just been really great. Like, I had to kind of step away from doing much at church. So it's always weird for me to show up at church and then like, it's just a beautiful service, but I had nothing to do with it. Not that I did much anyways, but like I would either be doing sound or I would be doing something with the choir and everything, but it was just a beautiful service. And the youth brought out they do worship dance at my church, and I don't think they've done it for a while, or I haven't seen it for a while. So it was really fun to just bring that out, that tradition. So I hope that you were able to kind of celebrate the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead, and that is why we are here. If that didn't happen, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he wouldn't have conquered death. He wouldn't have proved that he is God, and I would be foolish for living this way for my life and claiming to be a Christ follower. I would be all dumb. Really stupid, actually. Really crazy if that that event didn't happen and take place. And there's so much historical evidence that it did. So anyways, I just hope that, you know, if you didn't get around to Easter Sunday or thinking on that truth, that you would and find a church body to be a part of, because it really does make everything just so special. My church really does feel like a family. It's just a really great feeling. I don't think I've felt that way about a church for this amount of time. So that is a blessing. That is a blessing, let me tell you. Okay, I'm gonna try not to chit chat your ear off before getting into this episode, but I am going to start with the Devo this week, and we're going to end with fashion. And this week's fashion news, fashion update, we're going to talk about some brands for Mother's Day. And I'm kind of doing a different little twist here. I saw this article by Forbes, and it was sharing about the best mommy and me fashion. And if you don't know what that is, stay tuned. That is going to be at the end of this episode. And we're also going to get into some of the mental health behind spiritual gaslighting and what to do if you're in that situation. And I just want you to feel like I hear you, because I think the whole point of being spiritually gaslit is that people don't actually believe that something's wrong, that you've been mistreated, and I just want you to feel validated. So if that's something that you clicked on this episode and like, this is what I want to hear, that is going to be right after our Devo. So stay tuned for that. I think it's an important topic. And I was surprised at how little we have written about it on, like, I went to Christianity Today. I went to a couple. You know what I didn't do? I didn't go to Gospel Coalition. Let me look that up right now to see if they have anything. But I was really kind of disappointed. I was like, wow, we really haven't been talking about this, probably because it's so prevalent. Crazy how prevalent this is from the amount of people I have talked to. And again, I don't want to broad brush it, but I am living in Chicago, where we've had a lot of issues with big mega churches. And so I've seen it a lot more firsthand, I think. And I recognize that than others. And that's why I'm going to talk about it. And it might be a little bit more firsthand experience than, because I couldn't find anything that was Christian related that was talking about spiritual gaslighting, that would be more of a someone that is a kind of like an expert on the topic. So I kind of put my little two cents in there as a mental health counselor. But let me look at Gospel Coalition. Yeah, nothing. That is so interesting that we don't use that phrase. What about spiritual abuse? Okay, there's a lot more on spiritual abuse, which definitely goes along with that. Like, I think that anytime there is spiritual abuse, there's definitely some spiritual gaslighting happening. But it just kind of goes to show that we're not actually able to pinpoint what it is that's happening in spiritual abuse. Like, a lot of times I think we can say that if something physical happened, we can say and claim that that's abuse. But when we are emotionally abused, it's very hard to pinpoint that. And maybe it's very hard to admit it as Christians, especially because we have a hard time with emotions in general. But anyways, it's a good topic. So stay tuned for that. We are going to go through that in a few minutes. But in our devotional, when we're talking about theology, I want to start off by talking about the biblical way of dealing with conflict. Now, this is, as we're going to get into it, this is when there's health in systems, health in families. There's got to be some level of health. And even if we're dealing with very unmentally healthy people, the first step should definitely happen. Like, even if you are dealing with a complete narcissist or crazy person or the biggest gaslighter out there, you still need to do the first step. So we're going to go into this. And it's so funny because my husband, I can just hear him right now saying, Matthew 18. He's like so about being direct with communication, especially in conflict. And that's why I think it's important to talk about. And I'm like really passionate about this because I have been shocked, like literally shocked, by how hard it is for people. And I guess I'm just like really a lot harder on Christians about this. And it drives me nuts. It really drives me nuts. If you have conflict with a person, talk to them about it. I don't understand. I really, really don't understand. You cause so much more chaos and hurt if you don't talk to the person face to face. Okay. And here is the thing. Okay. And we'll get into this a little bit more. It drives me insane. Okay. And this is the thing that drives me insane. It's when you're talking for someone else. So the craziness happens, and I don't know why this has happened to me multiple times, and it drives me insane. Like, I just hate it so much, where somebody is talking for on the behalf of someone else. That is not biblical. It is literally not biblical. Okay, so, and maybe you have someone in your life who has preached the Matthew 18 thing up and down, but I'm going to be that. If you don't, I am going to be that person for you. Okay. It's a 3-step process. You find it in Matthew 18. It is totally Jesus talking about, you know, how to deal with conflict. And the thing is that's so interesting is that it does have to do with a church, okay? So this has to do with believers, Christians, people who claim to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Love it. Beautiful. Okay. So you can't really apply this to someone who doesn't know Jesus. You can take the principles, but don't take this as like, this is Jesus's way of dealing with conflict with every situation. Like, we have to look at the context. So the context is that this person is involved in church, right? So Matthew 18 says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. Okay. And if the person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Yay, you. That's amazing. Okay, so that's step one. The first step, like, say this with me, go to the person you're having conflict with, okay, and talk to that person face to face. I don't know why this is so hard. I do know why. It is intimidating. It is saying, okay, I'm hurt by this. My emotions, you know, it could be from something really small. It could be something really big. It could be so many things, right? And I think in this context, it sounds like it could be like more of a serious thing. But I think this applies for everything. Like if someone said something and it was offensive or rude, like talk to them about it. They probably have no idea that they even said it that way or made you feel that way. Like it was probably not them thinking. Like they probably weren't even thinking. And I have been there. So I think a lot of times, especially as a woman, this happens a lot, okay? I can't speak on the behalf of men, but this happens a lot to women. I think that someone says something, it hurts your feelings, and you're too embarrassed to go and talk to them about it. So what do? You talk to your mom about it because it was a sibling. Or you talk to your other friend about the other friend. And I have been there. I totally get it. But it's because we're not able to be vulnerable about how we actually feel, and we're afraid that that person will, in a sense, gaslight you and say that you're too sensitive or blah, blah, blah. And in my opinion, that's not a good friend if that's what happens. But I always say you can only do what you can do in conflict, and you can't base what you do off of how other people react, okay? Because you know that somebody's going to react poorly, it doesn't mean that you don't communicate, because you have to do your part, okay? You have to do your part in the communication process. And then you can say, it's on them, man. Like, they handled that poorly. I have a right to say, hey, I was hurt by the way that you said that, and I was hurt by this and this and this. And that person just like brushed it off and made you feel like you were too sensitive or you're making a bigger deal than it is. That's on them, because that's not okay. That's not going to facilitate a trusting relationship. Absolutely not. So you can only control you. And biblically, you always go to that person that you're having conflict with. So that's step number one, okay? Now we're going to go further into Matthew 18, and it talks about if you're unsuccessful with that person listening and confessing and apologizing, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three more witnesses. Now, I don't know what this would constitute as, and like, I think this is more in the sense of probably in the sense of a church relationship. Like, I know that my husband has been a part of these things. I know that this is very helpful in a church setting because everybody's so close together. Everybody kind of knows what's happening. And when there's conflict within the church, like, it's so important to get it resolved and talked about and everything. So I would say, if this is appropriate, get another person involved if that person has been involved in the situation. Say there was somebody who stole from you, somebody who did something wrong by you. It's good to have two more witnesses. And then the third step is that if the person refuses to listen, you take your case to the church, or I would say like an authority figure. Like this is probably when you would get your boss involved or your manager or your pastor. This is like the next step. Okay. If it's like something serious at work that you can't handle, like, I mean, there can be real messy situations at work that you need help with. And I think the order of things is really crucial because you don't want to just all of a sudden get your boss involved for every little thing. And trust me, that has happened to me before, and it really didn't facilitate any kind of trust. I think it's just poor leadership. And like, I really think it's horrible leadership if you encourage one of your employees to talk about the other employee behind their back, and you don't facilitate a place of trust where you encourage communication between your employees and that they need to talk it out first before they come to you, because it's not appropriate at all for you to be speaking for your employee directly and that person hasn't even confronted the other employee. Like, I think that's so inappropriate. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what is so crazy to me. And this has happened to me so many times, more so in Christian settings than non-Christian. Okay. And that is what is so insane to me. Just insane. That is not okay. You should never be confronting people on behalf of other people if that person hasn't already talked face to face to someone. And it's happened to me. And I can see how the distrust can just breeds tons of distrust, horrible leadership. If you don't follow these three steps, there's an order to things. And that's what Jesus said. And I think it's a great principle. It was written in the context of the church. I think it's extremely helpful in other areas. But, you know, you got to remember that the authority person should come in after these other steps were not working out, after you talk to that person one-on-one, right? And I just think that you could avoid a whole lot of drama if you would just talk to that person one-on-one and say, I didn't really like how you handled that event that we planned together, and this is why. And you talk to that person, and if that person doesn't apologize or does it again, then you get another person involved. And then if that still happens, then you get someone in authority involved, because that is how it is supposed to be. There's so many times that there's conflict that is actually miscommunication. And let me tell you, I'm that kind of person that if you talk to me, my best friend tells me this. She's like, if people just knew that if they just talk to you about whatever they're having a hard time with about you, like, they would know immediately that you just want to resolve it and talk it through. And I'm like the first person to apologize, especially if someone is going to come to me and just say, like, this is how I'm feeling. Like, because I want to know. That is me personally. And I get it. Not everyone is like that, and not everyone has had that experience. But it drives me nuts because I am definitely more of a red communicator, which means like if something's wrong, I'm going to tell you. So I do that. I will go and tell you if something's wrong, if I have an issue with you. Like, I will tell it to you, but it's going to be respectfully. And it's definitely going to be like, there's times where I definitely give a lot of grace to people, but there's definitely times where I'm like, okay, I am having a hard time not talking about this because I'm upset, you know? And I think that's a key indicator when you know that you have to talk to that person directly, when you're feeling tempted to talk about that person to someone else. And I think that breeds real distrust if you're talking about another person, another friend to another friend. That is just really stressful. And I always try to like make sure that if that happens, like I apologize to the other person. I talk to the other person directly because it just, it's bad, guys. Do not talk negatively about another person you have conflict with to a different person. It's just bad. This principle also applies, I think this is a really great principle, to parents of adult children, or because I just think that parents shouldn't get involved with conflict with their adult kids. There's like a point, you know. My mom, she and I worked through this one. My siblings are a little bit younger, and we got to a point where I was like, Mom, you just can't get involved anymore. Like, it's making things worse. And I think it kind of goes to this principle where when somebody is having a hard time with the other person, like, you can't just advocate for someone else on someone else's behalf. It just causes so much confusion. So my mom would be like, your sister, da 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 da. And I would be like, okay, can she talk to me about this? You know, and there's an age gap for sure. But it really helped our relationship, me and my sisters, because she didn't get involved. And, you know, if something escalated, I'm sure my mom would have to get involved. But it's something that helps adulthood, right? Because you're helping your children learn how to have conflict on their own and be adults about it and have adult relationships. You know, their sibling relationship has to change as they get older. You know, when you're younger, like, your mom gets involved, right? Almost immediately. But when you get older, like, you have to kind of learn that your children are adults now, and you can't get involved. You can't speak for them anymore. But what you can do is encourage them to talk to each other. My mom has done a fantastic job doing that now as adults. Like, anytime I start kind of talking about my sibling, she's like, you should talk to him. And I'm like, you're right. You know what I mean? I think it just helps so much with the family system if there's not one person mediating for everyone else. And I think that is why it works really well in a church setting too. When it's a family, blurred lines can happen so quickly. And I think that's why this principle, this Matthew 18 principle on communication and conflict, is so important. And again, I think this can apply to bosses and coworkers. Like, I will never forget that situation where I'm like, that my boss wouldn't tell me who it was that had an issue with me and wouldn't say the situation, but said it super, super just like, wouldn't give me any details really, except that they were upset about how an event happened. And I just remember feeling so upset about it. And I wouldn't have been upset about it if that person would have just came to me and said, hey, next time you're at an event, can you do A, B, and C? Like, it would have been so much more helpful and also less embarrassing because you're going right to my boss. It's just so immature and just so crazy to me that that kind of communication was encouraged. It's just insane. And it really doesn't facilitate any kind of trust between people, coworkers. It doesn't create trust between family members either. And it's just really poor leadership, really poor communication. So don't do it. Listen, we're Christians here. Let's learn how to communicate. And Matthew 18 is a really good example. So, yeah. And I think that goes back to the fact that if someone confronts you and says, hey, you did this and this really hurt my feelings, it doesn't matter if you tried to or didn't. Like, you own up to it and say, wow, I'm so sorry that that made you feel that way, or that I communicated that by my actions, and apologize, you know, because you want that person to come back to you and say, be upfront about the issue that they had with you, right? Because you don't want them to have to go and talk about you to other people. So I think it's just a good reminder to create some clear conversations and direct communication. And if you have an issue with someone, go and talk to them about it, okay? Let's just grow up a little bit and do that. And then we're going to go into what is spiritual gaslighting. And I want to throw this in here after talking about conflict, because the thing is, with spiritual gaslighting, it is a lose-lose situation when you're trying to confront someone. And a lot of the times, the hard part is this is your pastor who's gaslighting you. This is your spiritual leader who's gaslighting you. This is your boss who's gaslighting you. And not only that, they're bringing spirituality into it, and it can be really confusing. And that's why I want to talk to you about it, because yeah, we can try and do direct communication and do the best that we can to others who are hurting us. And sometimes it'll be just some miscommunication, right? Or it could be that person is gaslighting you and making you feel crazy. So that's why I'm pairing it with the last previous devotional. And it kind of goes hand in hand, like last episode, because we're going to talk a little bit about spirituality. And if you want to look at a good biblical example of spiritual gaslighting, you can totally see that in the Pharisees in the New Testament. They were gaslighting Jesus all the time. They were trying to make him feel dumb. They were trying to trap him. It was manipulation. They were trying to, I mean, just the part about the temple and the fact that everyone had to pay a ton of amount, and it was fickle. It was, you know, they were being they were being kind of sneaky about it. But people had to pay for their offerings to pay for their sins, right? And the temple, they were being they were being sly about it. They were being sneaky about it. And that made Jesus mad. And that's a form of spiritual gaslighting. It's making you feel like and the sickness thing, making you feel like, I mean, I'm sure they really thought this because they didn't have the medical stuff that we have today. But anytime that someone's making you feel less than and that you're not spiritual enough because you're getting sick, that is spiritual gaslighting. It's kind of, I haven't seen that as often. I'm sure it's out there still today, but that's a big one, and that you can see in the New Testament as well, that the Pharisees did that a lot. And the whole culture probably did that at that time. But it's a good example of gaslighting. Many times gaslighting can happen to you from someone else, and this can be a friend, parent, family, pastor, you name it. Why do people gaslight? Gaslighting is often used as a method of control over another person. When someone begins to doubt their own memory or sanity, they may come to depend on the gaslighter to make sense of things. In this way, the gaslighter is elevated to a position of power or authority. Additionally, gaslighting invalidates the victim's point of view. The victim is made out to be wrong or not to be trusted, so that the gaslighter always has the upper hand in the relationship. The gaslighter becomes the only one in the relationship who can be trusted. And this, you can see how this goes really wrong in the spiritual setting, in a Christian setting, church setting. It can get really messy really quickly, right? So that's what spiritual gaslighting is. The only difference is that it brings spirituality, it brings faith into the gaslighting process. It's like a spiritual component that is added. And this can be when someone brings spirituality to control, manipulative, invalidate, make the victim feel crazy. Going through spiritual gaslighting can be extremely damaging to one's faith and trust in others. You may think this is only used by cult leaders or sociopaths. However, I would claim that this has become much more common in churches today, because we've elevated pastors into basically celebrities. We set up churches to attract narcissistic leaders who are masters at spiritual gaslighting. So here are some common ways a spiritual gaslighter will cause fear or manipulation. And this is just some things to keep in mind, making you feel less spiritual because of an illness, having less money, or because of hard things in your life. This is just not biblical. The Bible says that there will be trials in this life, but not to fear. Like, Jesus's message has always been, you know, not that your life circumstances have nothing to do with your ability to be close to God and hear from him. The Bible also doesn't say pray more, or give more money, and all your issues will go away. Actually, it's very separate from those two things. The gaslighter may invalidate your grief or depression or anxiety. They are really big on not taking mental health issues seriously. I don't know why that's like a thing, but it totally is. We have to remember that we're spiritual beings in a physical body. And a lot of times mental health issues can be very physical. It can be very chemical, right? So going through hardships or trauma doesn't mean that we're not spiritual enough. It means that we too need some healing and maybe some therapy. And that's okay. Don't let someone invalidate what you're going through. The gaslighter might invalidate your feelings and emotions when you try to communicate with them about how they treat you or communicate to you. So this is a big one. And, you know, anytime that you confront someone who's gaslighting or someone who's a narcissist, I mean, they'll become the victim. And a lot of times that means that they're going to invalidate how you're feeling in this situation. So look out for that. And it goes back to what we were talking about with the conflict thing, you know, and it's just hard when, you know, Matthew 18 can work, but what if that person is your spiritual leader, your pastor? What do you do then? The gaslighter makes you doubt yourself to the point of having to rely on them for all the answers. You know, I believe that God gave us a brain for a reason. Each individual person has a brain, okay? So use it. The best leaders and the best teachers teach others how to think for themselves, okay? So if you are being trained to rely on one teacher, one pastor, one denomination, there's probably something wrong there. If they're saying that they have all the answers and other people don't, like, there's probably something amiss. And again, they should be able to encourage you to come to conclusions yourself. I think that's what a good teacher would do. And that's what pastors are supposed to be there for. Okay. And then the other thing is they may posture themselves as someone who hears more from God than you. This is especially dangerous, and many spiritual leaders will use this tactic to either strike fear or awe in their followers. I think we have seen this in Mars Hill, Mark Driscoll. Like, if you listen back on that podcast that was recording, would play back some of his sermons, he just sneaks it in there a little bit, like just a little bit, where he just makes it sound like he hears from God and you don't. And I just think that that's a very evil way of positioning yourself in a place of power and spiritually gaslighting people who are listening to you. I just think we need to be really cautious with that one. That one is a red flag, okay? We are seeing lots of red flags all over the place. Okay. And then lastly, they will use little lies to control and manipulate. And you can catch this. They're very small, but master gaslighters thrive on lies. And exposing them with truth is a great way to call them out on their bluff. But this may result in a lot of retaliation. So this is a step that I would suggest: be sure to find like a trusted friend or talk to a therapist as you start putting up some boundaries and calling this leader out. And the unfortunate part, like when we are talking about, if we're talking about like a church, a mega church or something like that, the unfortunate thing is a lot of people who see these things, they will know that person more intimately. They'll be maybe working closer with this leader, or this pastor. They'll be in the inner circle, because a lot of mega church pastors, that's what they tend to do, because it's impossible to be able to connect with all of their congregation. And I think that's an issue. Like, as someone who has just absolutely loved being a part of a smaller church and my husband is a pastor at a smaller church. Like, I just can't imagine, how do these mega pastors do it and stay connected to their, anyways, that's just a little thing for me. Okay, so we're talking about what to look for, what happens in spiritual gaslighting. And if you have another point on what happens in spiritual gaslighting, please message me. Please, like, you know, email me. I would love to hear, you know, maybe you've been a part of something. Maybe you've had some church hurt like that. I want to hear about it, because the more that we expose these situations, the better, I think. Okay, what to do when you are being spiritually gaslit? I just wrote down a few things that may help. First thing is that denial is a common symptom when you're being gaslighted. It is even more common when you're being gaslighted by a trusted spiritual leader or pastor. So be patient with yourself and slowly accept what happened to you, because it is spiritual abuse, and call it what it is. It was spiritual gaslighting. The next thing is forgive yourself. Depending on the situation, you may feel ashamed, confused, blindsided, sheepish after you figure out you're being manipulated. Forgive yourself, because gaslighters are masters at manipulation. It's what they do. They make you feel crazy. And I will be the first person to say, I believe you. I believe you that this happened to you. If you're like right now listening, yes, this stuff has happened to me. Cool. I believe you. I really do. Find a therapist. There is nothing like being gaslit by a pastor to shake up your foundation, your core, your faith. Find a counselor who you can talk to about these things. This is especially needed if you like worked on staff at a church. Like, that is when you really see the ugliness of what can happen with a spiritual leader. Maybe you were on staff at a Christian organization. Maybe you served on an elders board. This is when you see these things come up. The other thing is put up boundaries between you and that person. This may mean stepping down from leadership. This may mean finding another job. This could mean finding another church. Whatever that looks like, do it for your emotional health. And then the last part that, you know, you don't need to do, but I would recommend it just because it is something that not a lot of people do, and that's why this is so prevalent right now, but become an ally for others who are in the same situation. The odds are that you're not the only one who's feeling crazy, and others are going to see this person for who they really are soon enough. Be the person who says, I believe you, because too many people don't speak up and don't call out a spiritual leader who is also a spiritual abuser with this stuff. With the right support, you could help prevent others from getting spiritually abused as well. But again, it just comes back to making sure that you have a good support system. There might be a lot of time that you need between this point and doing that last step, but it is something that needs to happen. And it's scary when it's, you know, some of these pastors or spiritual leaders have so much money, they have a lot of power and a lot of influence, and it can be scary to stand up and do it. But, you know, especially if you're on an elder board, where you can't, it's not tied to a job. This is a volunteer thing. This is, you know, you could find another church. Like, speak up. I think it's scarier when you, and I could see this totally. I think it's scarier when you are on staff at a church to really have to get another job and all that stuff to speak up. And I think that can really cause some weird situations, I think, in the church. But when that's why having a strong elder board is so important, I think, in church leadership. So there we have it. We have a lot of conversations about conflict. And I just want to tell you that if you're getting spiritually gaslit, conflict is totally different than what we talked about in our devotional section of this podcast. And I know this is a little bit more serious, but I hope it's helpful. And I want to mention here that if you click the link down below for it's a PDF. It is a live PDF, so I update it. And put resources on this page, when I find them on spiritual bypassing, spiritual gaslighting, I'm going to put it on this PDF. And what you can do is you can download it, you can grab the link, and you can have it and save it for future reference. And I'm going to continually add more resources as I find it. So all you have to do is drop your email in the form and you will get this PDF sent to you via email. And it's just a way for me to just help you, help us, like, be able to be mentally, emotionally, spiritually healthy. And I'm really passionate about that. And I think that this is a really good opportunity to jump in and make sure that we know what these things are and we know what to look for. And so then when people say something's not right, something's not okay, like, this person did this and this and this to me, we can say, I believe you, you know, instead of doing more spiritual gaslighting, because I think that's the cycle that we see a lot. So anyways, I don't want to leave you hanging. I want to give you as many resources as possible. You can do that. You can also find the articles that I am, like, if you're listening to this right now, I have the articles and the list of things to look out for on my show notes, which is always on the youarecoveredpodcast.com website. So you can visit there and it will be there. That will not be updated. So if you want updated resources that will be up to date and you want that link, please drop your email in the form below in this, underneath this podcast. So I hope that's helpful. I know this was serious and I'm very passionate about it. And so you probably heard that. Pass this along to someone. If you know of anybody who needs this episode, who maybe needs help in the communication department with, maybe they have more conflict in their life than they would like. We all have those times, or has experienced any kind of spiritual gaslighting. And when I talk about this, this is a lot more when it comes down to probably more leadership and stuff. But, you know, parents can do this to their kids. You can do this to your friends by just minimizing or overly spiritualizing emotions and feelings and hard things. And sometimes hard things are hard things. We don't need to be, we don't need to undermine or make somebody feel like they're not spiritual enough because of hard things that they're going through. It's just really damaging. So I focus a little bit more on the power dynamic of pastors this episode, and maybe we'll do more in the future. But for now, I think that was a good touch on a heavy subject. So let's dive into something lighter to end this episode. We're going to talk about fashion. And I thought, because Mother's Day is coming up, we could talk about mom and me fashion. And what this is, I got this article from Forbes and I really loved the brands that they highlighted. And what it is basically it's like a new trend. Like, my mom was just talking about this, but she was saying how this was something that she always wanted, more matching, like being able to match with her kid. And now it's a bigger trend where mom and me fashion is a thing, where there's whole companies that are really into making sure that moms have clothing options that are the same as their kids. So in the show notes at the youarecovered.com website, I listed out some of these on my website, and I think you'll really enjoy them. I'm just going to quickly go through some of the ones that they listed, but French Lime is a sustainable athleisure brand founded by Denise Sayed. Nora Lee is a romantic kind of chic silhouette brand, has a lot of beautiful dresses for any kind of occasion. Lake was founded in Savannah, Georgia, and it draws on the enjoyment of summers on the East Coast. Really like their their dresses, super cute, but they also have pajamas and lounge wear and casual attire for like the whole family. So the whole family can match. Gap is also listed. And I think that's a very good thing to keep in mind, like for a family photo shoot. They do have a variety of matching outfits too. Kite Baby, it was founded because her baby, the founder's baby, had a hard time sleeping and had eczema and couldn't wear anything. And they finally found bamboo to be the thing that would soothe her skin. And so all of her fabrics have bamboo in them to help with any kind of baby irritation. And they also have a lot of matching outfits too. Jill Yoga, this is another lifestyle athleisure brand that celebrates women of all ages, which is super fun. And it's proudly female-led and run right down to design and creatives, which I love as well. Seraphine is a royalty-approved brand. I love that they put this in here, that Kate Middleton is a fan. And it's based out of London, and it specializes more in maternity and nursing attire. But you can get like your whole wardrobe here. It's like one-stop shop. Merry People, it is an Australian brand. And it was initially a project to help keep her shoes dry on rainy or muddy journeys home from work while being stylish enough to wear in the office setting. So those are boots. The Tiny Knot is so cute. It is a headbands for baby and mom. So you can get matching headbands. Dear Foams, this is like if you want really cute, like super comfortable shoes or slippers for Mother's Day. They're really cute and they kind of look like Uggs, but just in cuter colors. It's exclusively made in America, in the USA, which is cool. And it prides itself in creating high quality fashion and always putting their best foot forward. Love that. Kitty in Tug. This is a fun one and I wanted to include it because they have like a lot of like pray more, worry less sweaters. And then they have like God is good sweater. And I love that so much. She has a lot of really great faith brand tees and sweatshirts. And again, it's matching. So you can match with your little one. So that was a fun spin on Mother's Day gifts. If you enjoy mom and me fashion tip. So you can find all of that on my website, youarecovered.com. And I will list those brands along with some of my favorites that I pulled from there. So do check that out. But that is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining with me. And I hope that this was informative. I hope that it was encouraging. My cats have been growling at each other the entire time. So if you hear any kind of growling in the background, it's because they are still not warming up to each other. We have another little cat here with us, Miss Blue. And so far, she has not been Karen's favorite person. But yeah, that is a new addition to our family. They're still growling. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being with me. You can always follow the You Are Covered podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can also follow me, Hannah Lynn Miller, on all the things. Thank you so much again. And if you want that PDF form that's going to be live and it's going to show a lot of resources on spiritual gaslighting and spiritual bypassing, please drop your email in that link below and we'll get that to you right away. All right. God's got you and you are covered. Be blessed.